KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have currently 33 degrees, looking forward to be mostly sunny here in Atlantic and a high around 75. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with a check of news brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In state news, a 17-year-old carrying two knives was taken into custody after schools in an eastern Iowa city were locked down. Monticello police said in a news release on Thursday that a school principal reported that two males dressed in black had walked past the school and one had a large knife, in a sheath on his belt. All Monticello Community School District buildings were then locked down and officers were sent to each school. An officer stationed at the Central Middle School later saw two males matching the description. One was an adult who wasn't armed. The teenager with him was held pending charges for carrying dangerous weapons. So far, investigators have found no indication that the teenager intended to pose a threat. I'll have a check of area news coming up next.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
What?
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. Even though there are many ways to politely tell someone you didn't hear them, not being able to understand what people are saying to you is frustrating for everyone. Because hearing loss happens gradually, many times you and those around you develop coping behaviors to keep the communication flowing. Speaking louder, lip reading, and eventually the frequent request to repeat. But because those behaviors don't address the real source of frustration, your hearing loss, it can become a hearing problem for everyone involved. The best way to avoid the frustration is to recognize the real culprit and to take action. A hearing evaluation is the first step. Even if what you're experiencing is a very mild hearing loss and hearing aids are not needed, knowing what's going on allows you to stay on top of your hearing loss. No one wants a conversation that revolves around,
excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In the news, a woman from Crawford County has agreed to plead guilty to a single felony count of second-degree burglary in connection with a double homicide last year near Deloitte, Iowa. The Omaha World-Herald says in her plea agreement, 36-year-old Erica Danes of Denison also pled guilty Thursday in Crawford County District Court to being an accessory after the fact. Danes had originally been charged with two counts of first-degree murder and one count of first-degree arson in connection with the March 10th murders of Marvin Hulsing and Alice Hulsinger on Hulsing's property southeast of Deloitte. Her two co-defendants, 19-year-old Jaden Ray Chapman and 26-year-old Michael David Schenck, both of Denison, have pleaded not guilty to murder and arson charges. According to court records, Chapman told law enforcement officials that he, Schenck, and Danes had gone to the farmstead to steal scrap metal. According to a complaint, an affidavit filed earlier in Crawford County District Court, Chapman said that he and Schenck shot Hulsing and Hulsinger, and then set fire to a trailer with the victims inside. As part of the plea agreement, Danes agreed to testify for the prosecution at her co-defendant's trials. The original charges against Danes were dropped without prejudice, which means the prosecution can refile the charges if Danes violates the terms of the plea agreement. All three have been held in the Crawford County Jail in Denison on $500,000 cash-only bail since their arrest on March the 13th. Thursday's plea agreement stipulated that Danes' bail continue as previously set. In pleading guilty, Danes agreed to prison terms of 10 years on the burglary charge and 2 years on the accessory charge. A determination will be made at sentencing whether Danes must serve the terms one after the other or for a total of 12 years or at the same time for a total of 10 years. Sentencing will not occur until after the cases against Schenck and Chapman have concluded. A house in rural Harrison County was destroyed by a fire Wednesday morning. According to the Mondamin Fire Department, the call about the fire at the residence in the 1300 block of 195th Trail came in at around 7 a.m. Wednesday. Firefighters from Pisgah, Little Sioux, and Modale provided mutual aid at the scene about 3.5 miles northeast of Mondamin. Water trucks from the Logan and Magnolia Fire Departments were also brought into service. Flames and smoke could be seen from the city of Mondamin. The house was fully engulfed in flames by the time the fire department had responded and arrived on the scene. Officials said the fire was too dangerous to enter the home, so crews stayed on the outside and sprayed it with water to try and contain the flames. Four residents who were inside the home were able to escape without injury, and they were being offered assistance through the Red Cross. Fire crews remained on the scene for over 5 hours. The Mondamin Fire Department left one tanker truck on the scene for the remainder of the day Wednesday in fear of a rekindle. However, the truck and equipment were removed from the site at around 7 p.m. A dollar amount of the damage was not available. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources reports overall dry conditions persist for most of the state. In their latest water summary update, the DNR said precipitation average for the past 2 weeks has been just over 3/4 of an inch, a half an inch less than normal. The continuing drought is reflected in the change of stream flows across the majority of the state. The lowest conditions are in the Raccoon and Des Moines River basins, which have less than 10% of normal stream flow. Shallow groundwater levels are lower in southwest, west central, and south central Iowa. Adequate spring rainfall will be critical to recharge the alluvial and shallow bedrock aquifers. Conditions are close to normal for northeast Iowa, which had near normal rainfall over the past couple of weeks. If you'd like a more thorough review of Iowa's water resource trends from March the 27th through April the 9th, you can go to the link under this same story on our website at kjan.com, click on the news tab, and scroll on down for the water summary story. A Northwest Iowa daycare provider charged with murder and the death of a 3-year-old girl is seeking a change of venue for her upcoming trial. The Sioux City Journal reports an attorney for 34-year-old Rochelle Sapp says publicity surrounding the case would make it hard for the woman to receive a fair trial in Sioux County. Sapp has pleaded not guilty to first-degree murder and child endangerment in connection to the death of Autumn Elgersma last year. An autopsy ruled the girl died from blunt force head injury. Sapp's attorney, Edward Bjornstedt, filed the motion on Monday, but no trial date has been set. A Sioux City man has been sentenced to 100 years in prison for committing sex acts with a child over several years. Daniel Harbeck received the sentence on Thursday in Woodbury County District Court. He'll need to serve 70 years before he's even eligible for parole. 37-year-old Harbeck was sentenced on 7 counts of second-degree sexual abuse. Court documents say he admitted to multiple sex acts with the child between 2010 and 2013. The child is now 8 years old. The Sioux City Journal reports Harbeck was ordered to serve 4 of the sentences consecutively. The other 3 will be served concurrently. Woodbury County Attorney Patrick Jennings says that he hasn't seen a 100-year sentence in a sex abuse case during his 12 years as a prosecutor. Well, nearly 1,000 former state workers are barred from working again in state government. Their names flagged with a code in the state database so they cannot be rehired. Senate Democratic leader Mike Gronstall from Council Bluffs says that the governor's top staff needs to appear before the legislature's oversight committee and answer questions about what Democrats consider to be a blacklist.
We have no limit on the time that we're going to spend to get to the truth.
House Speaker Craig Paulson of Hiawatha said he and his fellow Republicans also want answers about operations in the Department of Administrative Services. But Paulson accuses Senate Democrats of using the legislature's fact-finding process as a platform for the campaign against Governor Branstad's re-election.
I mean, holy cow, the Jack Hatch campaign brings in video cameras to some of the meetings. I mean, it's pretty obvious what's going on there.
Hatch's campaign manager said no one from his campaign staff has videotaped any legislative oversight committee. The Associated Press obtained the names of the 975 former state workers who are flagged with a do not hire code if their names pop up on an application for a state job. Senate Majority Leader Mike Gronstall says he will sponsor a bill legalizing the sale of medical marijuana in Iowa, reviving an issue once thought dead this year. The persistent efforts of women who had children with epilepsy changed lawmakers' perceptions on the issue. New policy measures cannot be raised late in the legislative session unless leaders of the House or Senate bring them up. Since Gronstall, a Democrat, will sponsor a bill, its fate relies on Minority Leader Bill Dix, a Republican, to sign on to move it forward. Dix said that he will make that decision on when a bill is presented to him. Governor Branstad has talked recently with governors who have signed bills legalizing the use of cannabis plant oil that isn't smoked and doesn't create a high. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, Humboldt State University says students involved in a deadly crash between a bus and a FedEx truck came from a number of high schools in Southern California. The students were headed to the university's Arcata campus for a tour of the school when the FedEx vehicle crossed the median on I-5 near Orland yesterday and slammed into the bus. Both vehicles burst into flames. One student says some 40 kids escaped the bus through a kick-out window. Authorities say both drivers and 8 other people on the bus were killed. A dramatic exchange today in the murder trial of Olympic runner Oscar Pistorius. Chief prosecutor insists that Pistorius intentionally killed girlfriend Reba Steenkamp and during cross-examination told Pistorius that she was standing behind the toilet door talking to you when you shot her. Pistorius answered, "That's not true." The prosecutor said the only reasonable explanation for the Valentine's Day 2013 shooting is that Pistorius killed the model after a fight. Pistorius argues he thought he was shooting at an intruder. A New York City man claims that a credit reporting agency falsely reported that he had no financial history because his first name is God. God Gozarov of Brooklyn said in a lawsuit that Equifax has refused to correct its system to recognize his name as being legitimate. According to the New York Post, an Equifax customer service representative even suggested that Gozarov change his first name to resolve the issue. Gozarov, who is Russian, is named after his grandfather. News time is 8:10.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In the funeral announcements this morning, Velma Cook, age 96, of Earlham, died Tuesday in Winterset. Funeral services for Velma Cook will be held today at 10:30 at the Bear Creek Friends Church in rural Dexter. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham has arrangements. Yvonne Ruth Book, age 88, of Panora, died Monday at Panora Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Yvonne Book will be held today at 10:30 at St. Thomas Lutheran Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. John Lind, age 62, of Harlan, died Saturday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community in Harlan. Memorial services for John Lind will be today at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Clara Betts, age 89, of Coon Rapids, died January 10th. Funeral services for Clara Betts will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. Audrey Zimmerman, age 90, of Avoca, died Wednesday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Graveside services for Audrey Zimmerman will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Graceland Cemetery in Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Elsie Hackett, age 93, of Oakland, died March the 12th at the Oakland Manor. Memorial services for Elsie Hackett will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Reconvieth Funeral Home in Oakland. Jerry Lee Bice, age 52, who's formerly of Griswold, died March the 18th in Des Moines. Memorial services for Jerry Bice will be on Monday at 10:30 at the United Methodist Congregational Church in Lewis. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Mike Shear, age 47, of Bayard, died Thursday at his home. Funeral services for Mike Shear will be Monday at 10:30 at the St. Gregory Gym, which is formerly the Bayard Gym in Bayard. Odie Funeral Home of Bayard has arrangements. Marjorie Kaufman, age 89, of Oakland, died Wednesday at Mercy Hospital in Council Bluffs. Graveside services for Marjorie Kaufman will be held Monday at 11 o'clock in the Oaklawn Cemetery in Oakland. Reconvieth Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Arlene Hasey, age 85, of Anita, died Wednesday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Arlene Hasey will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care of Anita has arrangements. Eileen Phillips, age 96, who's formerly of Guthrie Center, died Wednesday in Ankeny. Funeral services for Eileen Phillips will be Monday at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Patricia Kincaid Dorsey, age 64, of Atlantic, died Tuesday. Memorial services for Patricia Kincaid Dorsey will be Monday at 2 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. Daryl Duell Fisher, age 66, of Audubon, died Wednesday. A massive Christian burial service for Daryl Fisher will be on Tuesday at 10:30 at the St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Dedham. Sharp Funeral Home in Carroll has arrangements. Richard Johnson, age 82, of Greenfield and formerly of Messina, died today at the Greenfield Manor. Services for Richard Johnson are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. And Don Lynam, age 92, of Indianola and formerly of Greenfield, died Sunday. Funeral services for Don Lynam are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. That is a check of our news this morning on KJN, brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.